Late last week, you may have seen this, the CEO of the Newfoundland Offshore Industry Association sent out a plea to her members, asking them to provide personal stories to bolster Noya's call on the federal government to come to the oil industry's aid. Here's some of what Charlene Johnson had to say in that email. Our offshore oil and gas industry is in crisis. Our offshore needs support now. COVID-19 and the crashing price of oil have devastated our industry and many of our member companies. While the federal government has provided stimulus to the oil industry, it was largely focused on Western Canada. The $75 million emission reduction initiative announced for Newfoundland and Labrador did not address our most immediate needs. We need to help companies survive right now. To do that, we need to attract investment. Ms. Johnson went on to tell her members to include the hashtags for Seamus O'Regan and Justin Trudeau in their social media posts. And today, this province's representative in the federal cabinet took part in a virtual town hall organized by Noya. Seamus O'Regan is on the line now. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ted.
So how many hashtags came your way over the weekend?
I think it was a lot. I've learned not to spend as much time on Twitter these days, to be honest with you. There's enough going on, and it tends to just increase the anxiety level. But these ones, fortunately, were very, very positive, very constructive, very proud of the industry that we've created here. And I think really bolster an argument that, you know, we have an industry that's going through, as Charlene pointed out, two different crises. And, you know, in both what they call the demand devastation of COVID-19, because we're not driving as much, we're not flying as much. And then, you know, you couple that with the price war that was initiated with Russia and Saudi Arabia that we've been trying to bring some stability to, but it's going to take a while for that to happen. So two of those things happening, you've just seen, you know, one thing after another. And it just seems every day there's just been, you know, another cutback or setback or people laid off in our industry and in the province. And any one of those on their own would be news for, you know, weeks in this province. And it just seems to be yet another day. And, you know, that is it's scary for a lot of people. And we just have to make sure that we put the right things in place so that we make sure that this industry stays whole and that when we come out on the other side of this crisis, that it is as internationally competitive, if not more, as it was going in.
So what help will the federal government give to the offshore industry here above and beyond that $75 million I mentioned?
Well, the $75 million is just I think, a small amount of money, to be honest with you, in the grander scheme of things. I think that the largest amount of money, and it should not be overlooked, is the amount of money that's there for liquidity. And in dealing with the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers and a lot of other smaller, but also, you know, associations that deal with service industries associated with the oil and gas industry, all the their big asks, they said, you know, of our top five, the first three are liquidity, liquidity, and liquidity. So those are going into place now, and that'll affect about 600 of NOIA's members. So that's a substantial amount, and there's no cap on it. So there's no dollar amount that we've set, no limit. If people are entitled to the money, they get the money in order to make sure that, you know, they can keep their companies whole. So that's on track, and I think that that's a big deal. But we're willing to explore anything. And the first thing I think on the top of our list, as well as on NOIA's list, as well as on the province's list, is exploration and incentives for exploration. We, you know, in the past few years, we've had a very successful series of rounds on exploration, totaling some $4 billion to the province. That's significant. And there's a great deal of interest in Newfoundland's oil because it's a sweet light crude that requires less refining. And it will be, I think, much in demand as the globe transitions to renewables. Even the most ambitious Paris target scenarios have oil occupying a certain amount of the energy space because some parts of the economy will be harder to transition than others. And we want to make sure that, you know, Newfoundland and Labrador's oil is a part of that. But, you know, it's very competitive, and some of our biggest competitors are also jurisdictions that are committed to net zero by 2050, net zero emissions, such as Norway, such as the UK, and who are being very aggressive in that front as well. So, you know, we've got to find ways to make sure that we compete because they're getting more aggressive for that piece of the pie, and we've got to make sure that we're there.
But there's a glut of oil on the market right now. We've got tankers floating out on the oceans of the world, unable to dock and offload because the tanks are already full. The price is, as you mentioned, at rock bottom. Why encourage more exploration?
because there are many different types of oil, many different types. And Newfoundland and Labrador's type of oil is very competitive. It's sweet, it's light, it requires less refining. There is a fraction of the GHGs, greenhouse gas emissions, associated with Newfoundland's oil compared to other oils in the world. On the global average, it's a fraction. So that's why it's going to be, I think, very competitive now, and it'll be very competitive going on.
But I see posts every day from environmental activists saying, you know what, this is a moment of transformative change. We were already talking about this beforehand, the Friday rallies, Greta Thunberg, all of that. But coronavirus is now making us reassess everything. Many people are saying in most quarters we can't go back to the way things were, and what they're saying is this argument is about we have the best oil in an old world system. And what they're saying is, why prop up a dying industry? Why don't we spend the money investing in newer, different technologies, find jobs in the green sector, and move past oil now, not wait another 30 years?
I agree with all of that. I agree 100% with it. But it will not happen overnight. It will not happen in the next 5 years or 6 years or 10 years. And I don't think that pragmatism is necessarily obstructionism when it comes to heading for renewables. We are a government that's committed to zero emissions by 2050. I've stood in front of a clean tech conference in Vancouver and said there is no way that we will reach zero emissions by 2050 without working with Alberta, Newfoundland and Labrador and Saskatchewan and Canadian oil and gas. It's impossible. We've modeled it out. You'll never be able to do it. But on the other hand, I've stood in front of the senior executives of the oil patch and said, you will not have a functioning, thriving business unless you commit to no emissions by 2050. So oil is with us, and it will be with us for a while, but things are making huge transitions. And I think that this is an opportunity. I think a lot of people in the world, particularly in urban environments, are seeing the sky for the first time, and that is going to have a huge effect. Cities, hundreds of miles away from the Himalayas, they can see the mountains for the first time. Look, India, China, all of these areas are going to be experiencing less pollution, and it will change things. It will certainly accelerate change. But it was changing before, even in the past, even in my tenure as a natural resources minister for Canada, which is the fourth biggest oil producer in the world. We saw a huge, huge transition in investment. And the money is already going towards jurisdictions that are taking greenhouse gas emission reductions seriously. Alberta understands that now. And they were starting to make some significant moves. Now COVID has happened. So what you're seeing, I think, is kind of we're trying to make sure that we look after workers, we look after jobs, because we need those companies. We need our oil and gas industry there in order to help us make that transition. But you cannot be the fourth biggest oil and gas producer in the world and transition overnight. It will take time. No matter how much ambition and drive you may have, it will practically take time. But the ambition and the drive, I think, is there, and I think it's more focused now than ever before as we come out of COVID.
But if everybody, if oil and gas play a smaller and smaller role in our energy needs, and we have all the world's producers staying in the game, I don't see signs of anybody giving up on this. Doesn't that mean that the price of oil will stay low? And doesn't that make it especially hard to make any money at this, to be competitive at this?
Well, remember, too, that there are different prices for different types of oil. The Western Canadian Select is a very different price of oil than Brent. And in turn, it's different than Texas. If you look at the most ambitious Paris Accord targets, you're still talking about, upwards of maybe 60 million barrels a day per day being used. And a lot of that is for transport, aviation fuel. I mean, things that we don't see moving anytime soon. There's a lot that we think, let's say, electric vehicles, I think, are really going to be in demand in the next few years. Wind and solar are certainly going to increase. Utilities are definitely going to be increasing. But there will be a need and a demand for oil. And Newfoundland and Labrador has an excellent product so that it could be, Canadian oil could be some of the last barrel standing, because even with Alberta Oil, they are making significant inroads on innovation to make sure that they decarbonize the industry. And we're looking at all sorts of things. Just the extraction of oil requires so much oil and gas. And if we hook that up to the hydroelectric power grid, and we have a treasure trove of hydroelectricity in this country, if we could increase the amount of electrification in this country to industry, that would go a long way to helping us meet those targets. But we do rely on oil, and we will for some time. But there's no question, I think, out of COVID that it will decrease. But the quality of that oil and the demand for good quality oil will be there, very much so. And Newfoundland and Labrador's product competes with the world.
All right, Mr. O'Regan, we'll leave it there. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ted.
That is Seamus O'Regan. He is this province's representative in the federal cabinet. What do you make of what he had to say there? Call TalkBack and let me know. 1-800-465-6846 is the toll-free number to dial. Our email address is on the go at cbc.ca.